Yes, Lord. Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, precious Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you this morning, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your lovely name. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Christ God. I'm going to ask the pastor if he'll come. We'll lift the offering altar before we leave. We'll just ask the pastor to come on ahead this time and work this.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this morning. We give everyone a warm welcome to the Lord. And it's good to be saved, isn't it? Praise God. You know, Brother Billy Patterson gives us greetings to everyone. He rang me yesterday and asking for all the family and everyone, and he sends his greetings to each and every one, and appreciate that. Praise God. Let us turn in our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, just one verse, and I'm really talking about from the book of Acts this morning. And I want to continue in the theme, maybe from Wednesday night. It's a little different. And the title of my message this morning is, He Was Taken Up. He Was Taken Up. Verse 9 of Acts chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious blood, for your atoning death. We bless you that you fulfilled the will of the Father. You were tested and tempted in all points, and we thank you that you overcame. We bless you that you drank the dregs of the cup on the cross. You suffered and died alone in our room, in our stead. And you yielded up the Spirit. And on the third day, God raised you from the dead. We thank you that after the resurrection, you showed yourself over 40 days with many infallible proofs that you were indeed risen. Then before you went, you gave commission of the coming of the Holy Ghost. And I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon this service today. Amen. I ask for the ministration of the Holy Ghost to come upon each one. Lord, strengthen the feeble. Lift up the hands that hang low. Comfort the bereaved. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, get thyself all the praise and all the glory. I do take the Holy Ghost now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before you sit down, shake hands beside you and say, God's going to do a new thing. Amen. Are you ready? Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Hitherto, something you haven't seen before. Joshua chapter 3. You may have seen it. Praise God. Praise God. And as maybe wanted to preach from Joshua 3 this morning, but I couldn't do it. It's just something the Lord said to me last night. But I prepared this and mentioned it to Brother Laurie this morning. And the Holy Spirit told him the exact same thing from another scripture. God's going to start to do something. I'm telling you. Amen. And everything that's happened, we don't understand it. But God has a purpose and a plan. And even with Brother Ian going, it's hard to understand it. But a pastor friend of mine said to me, Brother Tom, you don't know what led ahead, but God did. And God's a purpose and a reason for everything for His glory. And people are still under so much conviction from a funeral. I talked with a man related to ourselves yesterday, and he cried with me on the phone. He's a backslider, and he's so close to coming back to the Lord. Just yesterday I spoke with him. And the Holy Spirit's moving, and something's happening. And I believe God is going to do something very special. That I believe from this time, there's going to be someone take. I'm convinced of it. I'm saying God's told me it. That's what I'm going to tell you this morning. And I'm saying I believe God's told me that. And I believe that this morning with all my heart. And I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strengthened in your most holy faith. That's what Paul said. And we're going to look at the Lord this morning. I want you to say about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost. A church without the Holy Ghost is just a noise box. But a church for the Holy Ghost is like the day of the book of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. And I tell you, the Lord here was taken up. This here, when you study this and you see how the Lord was taken, that is a picture of the rapture of the church. And there's going to be a rapture of the church of God, a catching away, a catching up. And Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Look, let me read you this again. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of sight. Look at this other version I've wrote here this morning. And when he had said this, even as they were looking at him, he was caught up. Now you often hear Brother John and Gary and the different brothers talking about the catching away. The reason they do that, and we do that here, is because it's scriptural. It's in the Bible. That's where it comes from. The word rapture is not in the Bible. But rapture means caught away. That's what it means. That's what the word rapture means. But that says he was caught up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And he was carried. They carried him away out of their sight. There's going to be a carrying away. The Lord is coming again for us. And the angels of the Lord are coming. And there's going to be a carrying away. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now that's not really my subject this morning, but I just thought I'd mention it. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in them, believed in the world, and received up into glory. He was received up into glory. It is so important that the Lord went up. Because there could not be a Pentecost until there was a Calvary. Amen. But after there was a Calvary, and after there was a going up of Jesus, the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost didn't come to glorify people or man. But the Holy Ghost came to glorify Jesus. Amen. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Hallelujah. He will lead you into all truth. He shall glorify me. He will take of the Father's and reveal it unto you. My sister, my brother, the thing you need this morning is the Holy Spirit. In stress, in weakness, you need the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you from the Word of God, the life of Jesus, how the Holy Spirit worked with him. And if he had the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. And if he was led of the Holy Spirit, we need led of the same Holy Spirit. Nothing less will do it. I'm sorry. It won't work. Man's ways will not work, but God's way will work. Now you could look at Luke 24 and verse 50 and 53, and it says he was carried up. I won't take time to read all these. You can mark them down. Luke 24 verse 50 and 53, it says he was carried up. The interesting thing, and I believe it's relevant to Brother John's testimony, what he mentioned, we will not be going of our own, we're going to be taken. And the Lord was taken. He was taken. And then when you look at Enoch, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for the Lord took him. You're going to be taken. Did you hear that? You can make all the plans you want down here. You can build a mansion. You can have all the things, whatever this world could offer. But if you've got the seal of God, which is the Holy Ghost, according to the book of Ephesians, when the Lord Jesus comes in the rapture, you're going. You'll not be staying, you will be taken. And those that's not saved are going to be left. They're going to be left behind. There's a famous man, and I have a lot of his little booklets, and he wrote a famous little booklet called Mr. Left Behind. And he does a whole big thing about Mr. Left Behind. Mr. Left Behind was a great fella. He even went to church and everything, but he wasn't born again. Only those that are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit are going. The Lord is coming for those that's ready. And they can't be ready without Jesus. That's the only way to be ready, is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Ghost. You could look at Mark 16:19, and it says he was received up. He was received up. Hallelujah. This is the translation where Jesus is taken to heaven. The earthly ministry finishes, and the heavenly ministry begins. You will know more. You don't know Jesus this morning no more after the flesh. The Bible tells us that. You don't know him no more after the flesh. Remember this, John 13:3. Jesus says, I come from God, I go back to God. You remember he said before Moses was or Abraham, I am. That's what he told them. And they said, you're not yet 50 years of age. You see, he's a lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. He is the beginning of the creation of God. By him were all things made, and by him do all things consist. That means maintained. It is God that maintains this world. Not Putin and all them things that's happening. The Bible told them would happen. Wars and rumors of wars, and the end's not yet. 2 Corinthians 5:16 tells us, henceforth, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We don't know him after the flesh, but the Holy Spirit has come in his name. In his name. And it is the Holy Spirit that leads the church, that guides the church, that empowers the church, that fills the church. And when you have difficulties, troubles, you don't need to be ringing your neighbor and nilly-nallying, tiddly-tallying. There's far too much of it. You need to get alone with the Lord and get on your knees and pray to the Lord for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what we need. Now, you can't depend on the health service today. Our brother Laurie told us the other week, they put him in an ambulance, got him to the hospital, and they left him for 13 hours in an ambulance. That's an absolute disgrace. But Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. You can depend upon the Lord. And I'm surprised that they're still going on about the vaccine. The vaccine. Now, you listen to me as a pastor of this assembly. If you'll take my advice, you'll take no vaccine for the flu or COVID. Neither. They're both useless, in my opinion. And I believe that. And I don't care what anybody... You know, a man said to me one night when I was out, he said, you're holding us all back. And he walked away from me. And he wouldn't come near me. According to him, I was holding them all back because I didn't get the job. I tell you, get all them vaccines you want, won't take you to heaven, but Jesus will.
Amen.
You don't know half the stories about them vaccines. They'll not tell it. But the people are suffering that's got them. I'm not here to preach about the vaccines anyhow. That's just to let you know what I think about it. Not a whole lot. The ascension is the closing action of 40 days. After Jesus rose from the dead, he was 40 days. And I believe before the rapture takes place, there'll be 40 days getting together. Some churches don't believe that. That doesn't bother me. I'm taking it from the Bible, not some creed book. All right? So some other place doesn't preach it. Don't worry me. The Bible's what I'm going on. Not somebody's idea. The Word of God's the absolute. 40 days he showed himself amongst them. And in the ministry, seen in them 40 days. The Bible tells that. The event of these 40 days fulfilled a lot of typical prophetic things in the law. Now I want to look at them for a moment this morning. And I have to go slow. I don't want you to miss these things go slow and go quick at the same time. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. You know, Jack Coe said, if you're ever down, you put your hands up and say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus, and it'll make the difference. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You read Matthew 5, verse 17, 18. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall pass, no wise, from the law, till it all be fulfilled. And I want to tell you in this service this morning, I keep emphasizing and preaching Jesus is special. Jesus Christ is unique. There's nobody else like him, and there's not. No prophet or priest can match the Lord. And he's the only one that can fill this law. He fulfilled it to the letter. He says, don't think that I'm come to do away with it, but to fulfill it. But once it's fulfilled, and we are no more under the law, but we're under grace, because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law that we could not fulfill. We would break it. Everybody would break it. They couldn't fulfill it. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, even before he got down with him on the mountain, it broke them. That's man. Man at his best will fail. That's why we needed Christ. He cannot fail. Matthew 11, 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. May say he done that which no other man could do. That's what Christ done. He done that which no other man do, fulfilling the law. Now firstly, the resurrection of Christ is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And for time, I won't go into it. But when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you will read that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the Spirit. But he was led of the Holy Spirit to the cross. Led of the Spirit to Gethsemane. Led of the Spirit. And you know what Calvary, the Bible says, he yielded up the ghost. He yielded up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. Who else could talk like that? Nobody. There's never a man born of a woman that could say what Jesus Christ said and do it. But Jesus Christ said, I have power to lay my life down. Excuse me, and I have power to take it up again. If you were to go into the presentation of himself as a sheaf of the first fruits, you'd go to Leviticus. Let's just go to it for a moment to Leviticus 23, verse 9. And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, and ye reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall weave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall weave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye shall weave the sheaf and the lamb without blemish for a first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenth deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour and drink offering. Therefore shall be of wine and the fourth part of hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor wine. And this is all an offering made unto the Lord by fire. And all that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I said to you, remember when I preached in Leviticus, you probably wouldn't. But I preached in every chapter of Leviticus some time back. Probably nobody remembers that, but that's not important. But the Lord fulfilled all these things about this. Because just as this offering was made for the people, Jesus Christ was an offering made for us before God. 1 Corinthians 15, 20-22. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. That's the reason we have hope this morning. We have hope this morning because Jesus rose from the dead. Paul says, if there's no resurrection, then we have no hope. And we are of all men hopeless. But there is a resurrection. Because Jesus Christ is that resurrection. Not only is he the resurrection. When he raised Lazarus, he says, I am the resurrection. If you've got Jesus, you've got the resurrection. I want you to get these keys. These are keys. Last Sunday evening I told you, if you've got Jesus, you've got salvation. For he is salvation. And this morning I'm telling you, if you've got Jesus, you've got the resurrection. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection. So if you've got Jesus, the resurrection's in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now we know this morning we believe in the power of the blood and been washed in the blood by faith, but there's no chemistry in the sense of a liquid that we bathe in, but the life of the blood is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when the blood shall broke on the cross, the life of Jesus, how many knows Leviticus tells us the life's in the blood? So the life's in the blood, and that life is the Holy Spirit. And Romans said that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken. And that word means make alive. When the Holy Ghost comes in you and me, we were dead in trespasses and sins. It makes us alive. So you're living. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, you're living. Not just this flesh, but someone inside. How many knows this body needs a redemption to wit? It's waiting to be the redemption to wit. We potentially have it, but it's not happened yet. This is a past house. But the soul's saved. And if you die, it goes to be with the Lord. But the Lord's going to come back, and the dead in Christ are going to rise out of them graves. And we which are alive and remain should be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be with the Lord. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as of Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Then you can take that other phrase from the book of Romans. As we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And as Adam was off the earth, earthly, so Christ is from the heaven, heavenly. That's why when you think of blue, blue's my favorite color, by the way. Purple's next to it. Blue's number one, purple's second for me. When I think of blue, I think of the blue and the Lord from heaven. When I think of the purple, I think of his royalty. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's even in the very colors. Amen. Now I want you to see the presentation of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ on the throne of the Father, Hebrews 9, verse 12 to 15. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That is why when a loved one goes, they can go straight to heaven. Their soul can go straight to heaven because Jesus has already entered with his own blood. He never took the blood of bulls and goats, but he took his own blood the whole way to heaven. And the way is made into heaven for everyone that's going to be saved. The way is made. Fella said to me, Jesus' blood couldn't have went to heaven. Flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God because it's corrupted. I said, I know that. You're quite right. But I said, there's one thing you've missed. Jesus' blood wasn't like your blood and mine. His blood was the blood of God. It wasn't Jewish blood. It wasn't Gentile blood. It was supernatural blood. Because the Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary. Hallelujah. And his blood was supernatural blood. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, neither will I leave thy soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And then when we come to this scripture here, this is the key scripture. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place. Now that's not talking of your natural type. But that's speaking of heaven itself. He never entered in to Moses' tabernacle with the blood in the natural, but that the veil in it rent. It rent. And while the priest was doing his duty, the veil, and remember the veil is as thick as a man's hand, it's 8 inches thickness, the veil in there. And it rent from the top to the bottom. And the priest doing his duty must have near passed out, the veil rent before him. Because the veil was rent when Jesus said it's finished. Amen. And he died on the cross. And his blood reached the whole way to heaven. I like what Reinhard Bonnke said. Reinhard Bonnke said Jesus plundered hell that he might populate heaven. And a brother mentioned the other week, I went down and preached into those in captivity. He preached the gospel to them. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he led captivity captive, and he rose up on the third day, and he gave gifts unto men. Now, I know some of you is wondering, I'm talking about Abraham's bosom. And you know it was a realm they couldn't get out of until Jesus went to the cross. And Job was in there. And listen to me this morning. Job was back in there. And when Jesus went down into there, Job says, here he comes. This is the one that I spoke about. This is the one that I prophet about. That I shall see him in the latter days in the flesh. I shall see him. And here he comes to Job. And Job says, this is the Redeemer. This is the one. He knew there was going to be something happening when he came. Because Job prophesied it in the Old Testament. And Jesus broke that place open. And the Bible says when Jesus rose, the Old Testament saints rose and they saw them. Hallelujah. She's closed this morning, you know. Abraham's bosom's closed. They're out of it. They're out of it. But they couldn't get out of it till the blood was shed. Because the blood had to enter heaven before it could be opened. But when the blood entered heaven, hallelujah, the way was made a more perfect way because he had fulfilled the letter of the law for perfection. Oh, glory to God. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean thing sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, under the old tabernacle and under the old offerings, your conscience was never made clear. You went to your bed and your conscience was still troubled the next morning because you're working with something that's temporal that only covered sin. But the blood of Jesus doesn't cover sin. The blood of Jesus annihilates sin. It washes your sins away. It clears your conscience and it says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the sins of your youth will I remember them no more, for they're cast away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. And there's a sign up this morning, no fishing. Don't probe into somebody's past like some old priest. What you done yesterday? I tell you, wasn't it Martin Luther in his study, and they say the devil appeared to them with a long list of his sins. And Luther said, is that them all? The devil said, no, there's still more. So he brought the more on a big scroll, and Luther took the quill of the desk and he dipped it in the ink and he wrote on it, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. And they say the devil fled. Hallelujah. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. How do you resist him? Commit your way unto God. Must commit your way unto God. If you're going to resist the devil, you must commit your way unto God. You must acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. And when you acknowledge him, the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Holy Spirit won't lead you into error. He will always lead you to truth. To truth. Because he is the truth. Praise God. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, hallelujah, eternal Spirit. You see, when you receive eternal life, thus it means what it says, eternal. You're not saved a week and lost the next week. If you're really saved and born again, you're saved for all time and for all eternity. You're saved because it's called eternal life, and Jesus Christ is the only way to have eternal life, no other way. Him that hath me have life. Praise God. He offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament. Not by means of death for redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Not just eternal life, but there is an inheritance Did you hear that? Did you ever have an unheard in its left to you? An unheard, it says something that's real to you. It's something that's real to you in an inheritance. And when the person that's the test eater dies, then the will comes into force. But it can't come into force till the person that owns it dies. But when the person that owns that will or wrote the will dies, it goes into force. And Jesus Christ died on the cross, and it has come into force. Amen. And there is an inheritance for you this morning. And I tell you, the first fruits is the Holy Ghost. And the Lord wants you to have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you could go and search it through Leviticus 16, but I won't take the time this morning. John 20, verse 11 to 18. And Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Hallelujah! You can't take it in, and I can't take it in, because you have to understand the scene, the whipping and the beating of the Lord and the crucifying of the Savior on the cross, and he's been laid in a tomb, and here she comes to dress him, and he's standing behind her when she turns round. I'm sure she must have been in shock. Yes. And he was risen. I tell you, there's nobody, no Muslim, or no false religion of Buddha or Muhammad or any other false prophet. They're still in the grave, and they're still there, a carcass. I don't even care if they preserved it and pumped it full of fluids. It's dead, and it's in that grave. But Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He's alive. He's alive. And he's went up before us. He's went up before us. I tell you, she was in shock. He entered into that within the veil. He's a forerunner. He is a forerunner. And he's entered into that within the veil. Look at the new birth of these disciples, John 20 to 22. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Then when you read John 3, he gives out the doctrine of being born again to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He's a teacher. He's a man that knows things. He's a scholar. He's a godly man. But Jesus tells him, you must be born again. And then when you look at them disciples, and them's a man that had the experience with the Lord. Them's a man that walked with the Lord. And they had the experience with the Lord. And they even went out and cast devils out and done all them things. But yet the Lord Jesus tells them that he's going. And after he goes, the ministry must continue. But before it can continue, there has to be a Pentecost. Amen. And Pentecost is inauguration of the true church. People today is against Pentecost, but the Bible's all for Pentecost. Amen. Now I'm not talking about some imitation where the pastor winks at his wife and she gives some wee thing and he gives a wee interpretation. It's all nonsense. I'm talking about the real Bible Pentecost. The real Holy Ghost Pentecost. You think of them disciples that cast out devils and done all them things. They walked with the Lord. But I read you, they will know Jesus no more after the flesh, but they're going to know him after the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost has fully come, and there was 150,000 people went through the place, they reckon it was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, and the power of God came, and the Holy Ghost fell, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You think of it this morning. You talk about a conversion. You have to look at Peter. He denied the Lord. He even cursed. How many knows he cursed? Somebody said, I know a fellow and he says he's saved, but he still curses. Well, he needs the Holy Ghost. He hasn't come right through yet. He's maybe in a justified state. He believes in the Lord, sure enough, but he needs a baptism. And I tell you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost will clean your mouth up. I can guarantee you that right now. It'll make you stop cursing and start praising. Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Yes.
I tell you, I don't believe Christians cursing and getting honest. That's not right. When the Lord really saves you and you get the Holy Spirit, you'll not be a curser, you'll be a praiser. Amen. You know, it was another man, Barry Smith. Who's ever heard of Barry Smith? Barry Smith told about two fellas on a boat, on a fishing boat. And one of them was a Christian, the other one wasn't. And he said the fella was a Christian, and nothing happened, and it went wrong. He would say, praise God, hallelujah. Another boy said, what are you doing that for? And this other boy wasn't saved, and every time he done something or someone wrong, he'd curse and swear. So one day, this unsaved fella fell over a bit of one of the ropes in the boat, and this other Christian fella said, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah. And the boy says, what are you doing that for? And he says, I knew you would. Amen. We're too slow. The Bible says the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. Don't let your light shine. Don't miss an opportunity to put Jesus in. That's one thing I'll tell you about Rock. It doesn't matter what the conversation started, whether it's weightlifting or something else, it'll end on the Lord. That's how it was. And he'll tell them about the Lord. And we need to tell people about Jesus, that he's coming again. Now I'm missing a load of stuff out because I don't want to take too much time this morning. The resurrection day, the first fruits of the new birth company, the church. As Adam received the breath, life. And you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Adam was just made from clay. But the Bible says that God breathed into him and he became a living soul. It took the breath of God to make him live. And then when you read it, them disciples, Jesus breathed on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. And the breath of God. That's why I love the song that Albert Chambers sings. And I used to sing it so much and it blesses me. Breathe on me, O breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I might do as thou wouldst do. Praise God. We need the breath of God. How many wants God's breath?
Amen.
God's breath. I want God's breath. And I tell you, when the breath of God breathes on you, oh, glory to God, even the bones that lay, just bones, and the breath of God moved on them, and sin you came upon them, and they lived again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God can do it. If you read Joshua chapter 3, and the Holy Spirit spoke it to me last night, and I tell you, Joshua chapter 3, God says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so be with you. And the Holy Spirit led them right through. And if you get the calendar and you watch it, he led them to where the water was. Not to bypass it, straight into it. Can you get that? Because I want you to get it. He led them to where the biggest trouble was. He led them to where the banks overflow. And it cannot be passed that time of the year. And God said to Joshua, as soon as a priest's feet hit the water goes past. And you're going to go over. Hallelujah. Just like Moses went through the Red Sea, you're going to go over this Jordan. Because I'm with you, says the Lord. And hitherto, I'm going to do a new thing. Something that's never been seen before. And it's about time that something started to happen that never was seen before. And God's able to do it, I can assure you of that. And he'll start it out when it seems impossible. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. Praise God. I'm not finished preaching, but I'm going to stop. Because I want a brother to come and we're going to worship some more. How many like that? And the brother Gary's preaching tonight. I should have maybe asked him sooner, but I felt yesterday to get a brother Gary to preach, and Samuel's preaching next Sunday night. I tell you, you know, one of the brothers said at Ian's funeral, this is a wake-up call. But I hope some people take the call. There's a lot of people that works for a few days, then they slack it off. But oh, that's not slacking. That's not slacking off. Let us be like the man training for the Olympic Games. That we put all into it for the Lord. Because Paul Jesus. Let us go forward this morning. Why, if you've never had a Pentecost, you don't know what I'm talking about, don't I know then you haven't got it. You need to seek God for it. Don't be hindered. Don't be put off because it's never happened yet. I want you to believe God for it. Set yourself a new target this year that you're going to put a time aside to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're sincere, God will fill you. He'll fill you. Let's stand on our feet this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you have a need this morning, lift your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. Now I want you to do something. If you're suffering in your body, put your hand right now, wherever your pain is, whether it's backache or anything, put your own hand on it right now in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. For the entrance of thy Word giveth light. Lord, I believe that you've spoken. Now I'm asking you that the same God that wrote the Word will come forth and confirm the same Word with signs and wonders and diverse miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Lord, I pray you'll stretch your arm forth over this assembly in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you'll touch that brother, that sister, that boy, that girl. I rebuke the symptoms of flu, of backaches, of headaches, of liver trouble, of kidney trouble. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak divine health and strength to the evil and marrow to the bones. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch your people. Lord, if there's any not saved, bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the remainder of this service. For tonight, help our brother Gary and spare him. Anoint them and use them for your glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as your brother comes.
Can we sing that hymn again? I can't play it, but all will be able to keep us right. A server isn't Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I serve.